Well, it's good to be with you today, and the opportunity is always to open God's word together. And I wasn't supposed to come today, but circumstances changed, and David said, could you swap? So here I am today, and I've had, I guess, a little longer to think about the passage and just consider what is before us. And the whole idea of how Jesus teaches with power. I was reading an article in the week from a journal that I read from time to time. I don't know whether you would find it boring or not, but it was a theological journal that comes out every month, and I have a flick through. And I like to read about church history, and in this particular journal there are many articles about how people have impacted the life of the church over many centuries. And I was reading an article this week about a Baptist pastor hundreds of years ago, back in the 1700s, and how that he was in training for ministry. And then I came across a word that I had never heard of before. And in this particular account of the history of how this Baptist pastor got trained for ministry, he had an issue with the, and I hope I'm saying this right, because there may be some learned people here who've heard this word before and say you're not saying it quite right, but anyway, he had an issue with the pedagogy of his instructor, the pedagogy. Well, this word appeared twice in this historical account of what I was reading, and I had no idea what the word pedagogy meant. My first thought was that it was one of those obscure words that only people who play Scrabble actually use. You know, they pluck a word out of nowhere when you think that they've got no chance of making an impact with the letters that they have. But I had to go and look it up, because otherwise it wasn't making sense what I was reading. It does, however, have to do with the method and practice of teaching. And so this particular gentleman, when he was being trained for ministry, had a problem with the method and practice of his instructor. Well, we're going to have a look at Jesus and teaching with power. And I'd suggest right up front that the method and practice of the teaching of Jesus was, his method was that he would engage with the people who were there in front of him, whatever the circumstance, and his practice was to take every opportunity to do that, to not miss the opportunity that he could do that. When we say that someone teaches with power, speaks with power, we understand that in their presentation that they have been influential, that they have spoken in such a way that it impacts the audience who is listening to them. They've spoken strongly about their given topic. People who teach with power are recognised by those who hear what they've got to say and have witnessed the outcome of their teaching. In a secular sense, I can remember going to a function many decades ago, a function in Melbourne, where the guest teacher, speaker if you like, was a gentleman called David Parkin. Now, David Parkin at the time was the coach of the Carlton Football Club, but he was also an instructor in physical education teaching program in Melbourne. And in those days he ran a program in what they used to have teachers' colleges. I don't think we have teachers' colleges anymore, but that was his role. And he spoke with such conviction and power about getting the most out of his life and how that he worked 12-hour days. He did his day job at the time. This is before, I guess, the advent of the professionalism of the AFL that we have today. But he did his day job to head up the physical education teaching program, and then after he finished there at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he would go to the football club and he would run the training and do what he needed to be done. And he spoke with such conviction and power that he wanted to get the most out of his life. And he spoke about how that most of his days were 12 to 14 hour days. And I can still remember that all these decades further on, when I was a lot younger than I was today. But he had an impact in what he was teaching on that day. His teaching was powerful, and I can still remember it. This morning, we've heard the scripture read to us, how Jesus taught with power in a synagogue in Capernaum, and the impact that he had on those who were there on that day in the synagogue. And for us today, we want to consider as to how what we've heard in the scripture can have an impact on us today. Now, I know that the church has been going on this journey of looking into the Gospel of Mark. And as I've looked at the Gospel of Mark, I just want to spend a minute before we get to this incident in the synagogue today, just to outline how orderly the Gospel of Mark is, because it leads right into what we hear today. And the Gospel of Mark is very orderly because it takes us on a journey right from the first verse of chapter 1 about the ministry of Jesus and how it reveals to us today Jesus' teaching with power. Well, if we were to look right back at the start of chapter 1, we are introduced to John the Baptist, clearly identified as the one spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Mark 1, 2 and 3 tells us, "It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John the Baptist heralding the coming of Jesus. Jesus coming into ministry. Very quickly, we then have Jesus baptized by John. Then we have the revealing of the relationship between the Father and the Son. Now, if you'll just bear with me a second or two, because we have Jesus baptized, and then verses 10 and 11, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased." So, baptism, revealing of relationship between the Father and Son. And then we have, in comparison to the other Gospels, a very small account of the temptation of Jesus. But at the end of what we read, it tells us that Jesus is attended to by angels. And so, we have Jesus consecrated to God through the baptism, approved of by the Father, "You are my Son," and protected by the Father through the temptation of Satan. So, consecrated, approved, protected. Jesus is ready. He's ready for ministry. And we see the power of his ministry as he calls his first disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John, leaving their nets, getting out of their boats to follow Jesus. The response of those first disciples based around the statement that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. That there would be hope for people. That the rule of God would bring true relationship of people to God. Well, if you've stayed with me on the journey, we're now at the point of our passage today about this incident in the synagogue there in Capernaum. Well, first of all, can I say that Jesus teaches with power because he has authority. And the people who hear him recognize that he has authority. Jesus goes to the synagogue. A synagogue could be formed at a place where there was at least 10 families, if you like, 10 married men. The synagogue was to be a place of instruction and teaching. Visiting teachers could be invited to come to the synagogue. The synagogue ruler, the man in charge, if you like, would decide who was to be the teacher. Now, we would assume that Jesus already had a reputation, that he was a teacher with a message worth listening to, which is why the synagogue ruler at Capernaum invites him to come and teach on this day. And we would perhaps be thinking that at this stage, in these early days of the ministry of Jesus, that there's little hostility to what Jesus was teaching. He's the new teacher. He's the new teacher. The scripture tells us, just to refresh us, that they, Jesus and his disciples, went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. It's a pivotal moment as the ministry of Jesus is revealed to those gathered there in the synagogue, this teaching with authority, and also to his disciples who are there with him on this day. And we see that Jesus connects with those at the synagogue on this particular day. And the people there recognizing that he teaches with authority, not like the teachers of the law who had spoken at the synagogue. The teachers of the law, can I suggest, were those learned men in the community whose authority to speak came from their position in the community. They were learned men. They had studied the Torah. They had studied the first five books of the scriptures. Therefore, they were the ones expected to get the invitation to come and speak at the synagogue. They would speak on the word of God and also with perhaps, can I suggest, some implied references of which the teachers of the law and the people like the Pharisees seem to be good at adding extra layers to the law, and so they would speak like that. However, it was Jesus who spoke with the authority of God, not the authority of the position that the teacher of the law would hold. And the people noticed the difference on that day in the synagogue in Capernaum. It impacted their lives. That's why the scripture tells us that they say that Jesus began to teach and they were amazed because he spoke as one who had authority. His teaching had an impact on their lives. When they heard him speak, they recognised this. They recognised the difference between Jesus and the teachers of the law. I think we learn very quickly in life about those who speak to us simply from a position that they hold, as against those who speak to us not only from the position that they hold, but there's something extra from the integrity of their being. I've given this some thought over the last couple of weeks about my own life and situation. And I've been blessed to receive spiritual direction through the journey of ministry from quite a number of people. And they were all excellent people who impacted my life. But there were two particular people who stood out. There was a lady called Lynn Sarah, who taught spiritual formation at the Bible College of South Australia. And another guy called the Reverend Roger Basham, who was a presbytery minister with the United Church. And in the time that I spent with these people, in the years I spent with them, as we discussed spiritual direction, it wasn't about the fact that they held a position in ministry, that the fact that Lynn was the spiritual formation lecturer at Bible College South Australia and had a ministry position, I think, at Holy Trinity there on North Terrace, or that Roger had a long history of ministry and he was a presbytery ministry. It wasn't the presbytery minister, I should say. It wasn't the fact that they held these positions. It was the integrity of their walk of faith. It was the content of the conversation that they brought to me. And that every time that I would bring something up about what was going on in ministry for me or in my spiritual life, it was always from both of them, where is God in the situation? Where is God in the situation that we were discussing? Now, if we were to look further into the Gospels about the teaching of Jesus, we would see that each time that Jesus gets into this position of formal teaching, or he takes an informal opportunity to teach, he teaches with power. There is a consistency about the teaching of Jesus that disarms his opponents, impacts the people who hear what he has to say. Very quickly, one example of that is found in the Gospels, and it's found in Mark 12, is the Gospel account where Jesus is challenged by the Pharisees and the Herodians. The Pharisees, the protectors of the law, the Herodians, the political party of followers of Herod, and it's around paying taxes to Caesar. I'm sure you know the scripture, and they're trying to trap Jesus to saying something that will upset the Roman authorities. And they say to him, is it right about paying taxes to Caesar? And the story goes, I'm sure you know, that Jesus points to the coin and it's got the image of Caesar on the coin. And he says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. It was an informal teaching opportunity, but he disarmed them then and then with his teaching. He spoke with authority. They had no comeback. On this day in the synagogue in Capernaum, Jesus is speaking with authority. Now, the second thing I think we can take this morning as we consider Jesus speaking with power is that Jesus teaches with power because he overcomes evil. He overcomes evil. Jesus is faced with this situation that as he is teaching, he's interrupted. And the scriptures tell us what happened. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The evil spirit speaks from the man, correctly identifies Jesus. This is a moment of spiritual battle. Correctly identifies Jesus as the Holy One of God. And Jesus shows that he has power over the evil spirit in that he speaks directly to the evil spirit, "Be quiet and come out of him." The power of Jesus clearly overcomes the evil spirit, and the evil spirit leaves the man. Let us be very clear that the evil spirit had come to do harm. This was a real man who was possessed by an evil spirit in the synagogue on that day where the word of God was being taught, and it was a spiritual battle. The evil spirit wanted to distract, disarm what was going on in the synagogue on that day. Friends, people who teach with Holy Spirit power deal with the situation that is in front of them. And this is what Jesus did. He dealt with the situation. And if you were present in the synagogue on that day in Capernaum, you would clearly remember what happened in this incident with the man possessed by the evil spirit. This was indeed a powerful moment. Jesus teaches with power because he overcomes evil. And if we were to look into the ministry of Jesus and go further into Gospels, we would see clearly that this happens time and time again, where Jesus successfully deals with the evil spirit or the demon that is causing havoc in the life of the person, but has come to do spiritual battle with Jesus. Teaching with power, as Jesus did in the circumstances, as he overcomes evil, produces a change. It produces a change in the life of the man who was possessed by the evil spirit. Now, you, like me, may have had an experience where something is going on in your life, and you turn up to church, or you turn up to that, whatever it is, Bible study, fellowship, you turn up to church, and the leader for the day, the preacher for the day, if it's church, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, correctly teaching God's word, seems to be speaking directly into your life, into your situation. And you sit there in your seat, and you may think to yourself, yes, I know exactly where the preacher is coming from. And you get that sense of conviction that God is speaking directly to you. Friends, teaching with power results in a change to the life of the individual who takes on what is being said to them. Now, this man at the synagogue, possessed by the evil spirit, his life changed that day. His life changed that day because Jesus was teaching with power. Jesus, through his teaching with power, greater than that of the evil spirit. And so this man's life changes. The authority of Jesus is clearly seen in this incident in the synagogue in Capernaum. Can I suggest that in life some people in position of authority do not use their power that they have wisely? Perhaps they may seek to satisfy others in the use of their authority rather than seeking to do the right thing. As we see and consider this incident today in the synagogue, Jesus, as ever, uses his power, his authority, to bring a better outcome to the man in the synagogue. He does what is right. And Jesus always does what is right, if we were to look through the Gospels there. He brings the best outcome for the individuals that he engages with. He is teaching people about God by the use of his power in this incident with this impure spirit. Jesus teaches with power because he overcomes evil. Now, the Gospel of Mark has other examples of Jesus using his power, teaching those who witness it that God can overcome evil. I'm sure that someone is going to preach from Mark 9 at some stage in the next months or so. But in Mark 9:14-29, we have an incident of an evil spirit who has robbed the boy of his speech. It would seize the boy, throw him to the ground. Jesus, in front of the gathered crowd, is revealing his power again and commands the evil spirit to come out of the boy. On this occasion, the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. So, Jesus has the power to teach with authority, has the power to teach in overcoming evil. And we see from the scripture today that there was a response to the teaching of Jesus at the synagogue in Capernaum. The scripture tells us, "The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, 'What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him.'" He even gives orders to impure spirits. This has impacted the people there. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. So the teaching with power by Jesus is spoken about, and it's shared by those in attendance. It is a sign of a person who is taught with power that those who attend want to tell people about what they've heard and seen. And that's what happens. So what about us? What then is our response to this account of Jesus teaching with great power? If we accept the scripture that Jesus teaches with authority, if we just think about that for a moment, if we accept that Jesus teaches with authority, then as we read the Gospels, as we hear his teaching, wherever that is faithfully preached under the power of the Holy Spirit, then it should make a difference to our living. If we accept that Jesus speaks with authority, it should make a difference to our living. It should direct the traffic of our living, who we are, where we go, what we do, who we speak with. Because Jesus has put it there for us. And as I've thought about this second, if you like, part of this account of the impure spirit and Jesus casting the spirit out of the man there in the synagogue, my thought went to the Lord's Prayer. And if we believe that God overcomes evil, we can pray that line in the Lord's Prayer where we ask the Father to deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. We can pray that with confidence. That can be true to us when stuff in our life is a real spiritual battle. It was true for the man who found healing from the evil spirit in the synagogue that he was delivered from evil. Friends, the teaching of Jesus comes with power to all who truly seek after Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that as we gather as your people, that your word is alive and speaks to us. And our prayer would be that we would accept your word, and that as we look at how Jesus taught, that it would impact our living, that it would impact our walk of faith, and that it would give us markers for our daily life as we go about whatever we do in the communities that we find ourselves in, whether it's at home in family life, whether it's at work, at school, whether we're out in the community, whether we're in community groups, that we let this teaching of Jesus, this teaching with power, with authority, this teaching that overcomes evil, that we would let it impact our lives in such a way that indeed that people will see the love of Jesus in who we are. And we pray this in his name. Amen.